The sermon for this Easter is Voices in the Dark. There are two readings I'll be reading from the New Testament. The first is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. Perhaps of all the churches that the Apostle Paul wrote letters to, this was perhaps the most troubled. I'll say more about that in the message, but they were struggling with what it meant, Jesus' resurrection. What did it mean? Those who had died in faith had been resurrected. And so listen as Paul writes to them, beginning in verse 12 of chapter 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong in Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And then from the Gospel of John, the Easter story, the resurrection of Jesus, beginning at verse 1. Let us give our attention to the reading and the hearing of God's holy word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, following him, went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you weeping?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, on this beautiful Easter morning, we come together in worship and we have collected memories. We remember days gone by and those that we have known and loved who have died. And we lift them up before you. We praise you for your promise that Christ is the firstborn of the dead, the first fruits, the pioneer of our faith. And we thank you for that promise of the resurrection in those that we remember. Oh Lord, this afternoon many of us will gather with family and friends, and yet some will be home alone and be reflecting on the stories of today and the beautiful music. Lord, speak to each one of us this Easter at our point of need. And Lord, pour through me the gift of preaching, that these words would not simply be my words, but your word to each one of us. And so we pray with anticipation that you speak to us in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Note with me this morning that the birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate at Christmas began in the darkness of night. Easter begins amid the darkness of morning. On the first day of the week, early while it was still dark, Mary came to the tomb. Now, this was not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This was Mary Magdalene, a woman who followed Jesus, who was sometimes troubled, often maligned. But Mary came to the tomb while it was still dark. I have found it interesting over the years, although Mary often is maligned and seen as troubled, the early church began to refer to Mary as the apostle to the apostles, because Jesus appeared to her first and then she went and told the disciples what Jesus had said to her. In John's gospel, he tells us that the Easter story begins with Mary Magdalene. John begins with Mary, I believe, because Jesus had come to change the lives of people, to not make them just better, but different, to live a new kind of life. He had not come to create the institution called the church. Jesus came to inspire a movement of people, a way of life, which would eventually become the church. So John's report of Easter begins with Mary. Perhaps Mary had tossed and turned all night, reflecting on the events of Friday, the whippings and the beatings, the suffering of Jesus and him being nailed to a cross, her teacher. She had seen and heard what he said on the cross. And so maybe she tossed and turned all night. Or maybe Mary set her Apple Watch alarm so she could get up early and go to the tomb. She wanted to be there early. And she went while it was still dark. Here is the heart of the Easter message, I believe. Easter is not just about the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, it's that, be sure. But it is also about the followers of Jesus who responded to Jesus' resurrection, created a movement, and became the church. I notice when I read through the John's passage this year There are so many action verbs in John's telling of this story. Mary ran. She ran to Simon Peter when she found the tomb. The stone had been rolled away from it. And then Peter ran to the tomb. The other disciple, presumably John, whom Jesus loved, also ran with Peter to the tomb, but was faster than the two. But then he got there and stopped. He did not go in. But Peter entered the tomb. Mary wept. Lots of action verbs. And again, you see, Easter is not only about the resurrection of Jesus. Easter is about the followers of Jesus, including each one of us this morning. It's about our response to the resurrection, our actions to the resurrection. The Apostle Paul, in writing to those Christians in Corinth, is convinced that the resurrection changes the lives of people of faith. He writes, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. But, verse 20, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead," he writes. Paul is writing to a people who lived in darkness. They were confused. The darkness in Corinth was different than the darkness of the first Easter, but it was still darkness. The Corinthian church, the people there were torn in controversy, division, immorality. They were struggling to get it right, struggling what it meant to follow this Jesus whom God had raised from the dead. And what about the resurrection of the dead, they asked Paul. The Corinthians believed in Jesus, but the Corinthians had not responded to Jesus in action. They were debating and quarreling and dividing one another. Well, Paul wrote to those Corinthians not to curse the darkness in their lives, but instead to be a voice of hope and a voice of life to them. Paul wanted the Corinthians to believe. He wanted them to believe in eternal life. But even more, Paul wanted them to live a Christ-like life. "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." That was his message. Life in Christ begins not at death, but with the resurrection. That's when life begins. Being made alive. A friend of mine once helped me understand the power of the resurrection when he told me about his trip to see the great mountain, the Matterhorn. He told me we arrived in Switzerland at night. He said, "The next morning we were up early to take the train into Zermatt, a beautiful village with a grand view of the Matterhorn," we were told. "We were eager to see that magnificent mountain, but we discovered when we got off that train, that the mountain was covered with clouds." Oh, we were disappointed. We had come so far in the journey, and now this. We walked around the village. We found a place for lunch. We let the hours pass. And then it happened. The clouds separated and disappeared. The great horn peak of the mountain was finally visible. "It was a holy, magnificent moment," he said. "A breathtaking view." But 20 minutes later, the clouds returned. And the mountain was hidden again. We had seen the Matterhorn, and we would never be the same again. This story, I believe, illustrates for us this Easter something of what it means to follow Jesus, especially on the Monday after Easter, tomorrow. I learned this from Dan Gibson, one of our elders. He gave the devotion in our past session meeting this past Monday. In our session meetings, so that you know, we always pray and have devotions. But he talked about after the glory of Easter, so many times we just return to our routine schedules on Monday. It's all about our response to the resurrection, you see. Not just returning to the mundane. The disciples did that. They returned to their regular schedules in time. They went fishing again. To follow Jesus, you see, is to make the journey of faith. And this requires action. It requires movement. Movement past Sunday into Monday and all the days to follow. We move out in our lives often in the dark, confident that something spectacular awaits us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On the Monday after Easter, again, we ride in the shadows of life, the narrow railway of love, compassion, and service is the way we go. We climb the mountain of service to others. But oftentimes the clouds roll in and the darkness causes us to question the wisdom of our journey. And here's what I've learned about the Easter faith over the years. The life of faith requires not only action and movement, but it also includes patience and waiting. Patience and waiting when the clouds come in. But there are moments when the clouds roll away and we discover a dimension of life that otherwise would have escaped us. And today, my friends, we have this collected memory of gathering to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, and that calls us to action, to live lives that aren't just better, but different and for a purpose. Easter begins with Mary Magdalene and Peter and John and many others who lived amid darkness. They went to the tomb in the dark. They became voices in the dark. They knew about the darkness of Roman occupation, the darkness of Jesus' crucifixion. And yet into their lives came light. The clouds rolled away and the light of Christ came into their lives. Now here's what I shared at the first service. Some of us remember the movie Forrest Gump. It may be on again this afternoon. It seems to be on all the time. But you remember how Forrest would always quote, find a quote from his mama to sum up a situation that a person found himself or herself in. He did that often. Here's the test. Life is like a box of chocolates. Why? You never know what you're going to get. You get an A. When Forrest Gump was asked about Christ as the light of life, this is what he might say. And I'm not going to try to imitate him, but he might say, it's like Mama always used to say, light is as light does. And what light does is shine out into the darkness. What light does is to make darkness disappear. Light and darkness cannot exist in the same space, because anytime light shows up, it pushes the dark away. And we too live in the darkness of this world, the darkness which began with Adam, in which we all die. It still exists. There are many clouds around us that cause despair, and yet today is Easter. Christ is risen. And the question before us is if we will curse the darkness or will we respond to the resurrection? Response is costly. And so will we respond to the resurrection, each one of us, and will we become voices in the darkness? I pray we do, because today we celebrate Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.